Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler, long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Many of you are probably familiar with and recognize the opening lines to Robert Frost's classic poem, The Road Not Taken. Now, it's been hotly argued and debated and discussed at length what Robert Frost was actually trying to say with this poem. It's an interesting story if you ever want to look it up. But since its writing, many people have related to the poem. And they've been able to relate to the poem because there seems to be this struggle of having to choose one option, one path, one experience, one opportunity over another, and knowing that by choosing that one, you will miss out on the other. And that's a relatable experience. I think humans in general, we have this kind of wistful, what if feeling when it comes to our decisions in life. If I take this path, what am I missing out on? What if I took that path instead, who would I meet? What opportunities would I have? How would my life be different? And we sit there with this wistful, oh, you just don't know. And that's why this poem resonates with people across the globe. Then again, some areas of our life aren't so dramatic, right? I'll give you an example. Because we have this picture of paths and this idea of a trip or a journey here, right? Well, not every trip feels like this. So Michaela and I recently moved. So we live very near the building here. And I have found at least four different unique routes from my house to the building. And when I drive here, I really don't care which path I take, because I've timed them all out, and they're all less than 60-second difference between the two. So it doesn't really matter. In fact, when I'm driving down Collins to get to the building, I don't ever think, oh, what am I missing out on by not taking Jupiter to Campbell? You know, that's just not an issue. And so there are things in our life, there are choices in our life, there are situations in our life where it feels like every decision, every moment matters. And then there are times where, not so much. Well, in Psalm 1, the first psalm, we see a picture of two paths, much like what's described here. We're going to be spending the entire morning in Psalm 1, so if you want to go ahead and turn on over there in your Bibles or on your app, that's where we're going to be spending our time this morning. So sometimes in life, it feels like every choice matters, other times not so much. But in Psalm 1, we see a picture of two paths, almost like we have a story of two people and they take different paths. So let's start by reading the entirety of Psalm 1 here. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. We have two ways set before us here in Psalm chapter 1. The first is the way of the blessed. Blessed is the man, happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. And so if I were to describe the blessed man's trip to you. I would point out how in verse 1, he avoids the advice and the company and the attitudes of the world and of the wicked. I would point out that in verse 2, we see that he takes joy. He takes joy in studying and contemplating and doing the will of God, the word of God. I would point out that in verse 3, he's compared to a tree. We get this image of a tree, and we get this idea of him being strengthened, rooted next to a constant source of nourishment. And because of that, he bears fruit, and he does not wither away with the seasons. He does not blow away. Instead, he stands strong next to his river, his source of nourishment, and therefore he does not move. And then we would see at the end that his efforts are known by the Lord. His efforts to study and meditate and contemplate and live out the will of God, the law of God, they are recognized by the Lord, and he is counted among the righteous. That's way number one. That's path number one. But there's another path here in Psalm 1, and that is the path of the wicked. And the image that we see of the wicked is the exact opposite, right from the get-go. Instead, he stands in the way of sinners. He takes the advice of wicked counselors. He remains in their company, and he, not only that, but adopts their attitudes. He sits in their seat. He takes on their attitudes for his own. And the result, when we get to verse 4 and we have this comparison to the tree for the way of the blessed man, we see that the wicked man is dried up like chaff. Dried up, withered away, and blown away at the slightest breeze. And we see that in result, he falls in judgment. He will not stand when judgment comes. He will not be counted among the righteous. And what an ominous, ominous statement at the end in verse 6. The way of the wicked perishes. Those are the two paths that are presented to us in Psalm 1. The way of the blessed, the way of the wicked. There are two paths, and presented with those two paths, which will we choose to take? There are two possible destinations. There are only two paths. And that's the thing. I don't mean to imply there's not more than one way to navigate. But in the end, there are only two possible destinations, two possible ways. One is the way of the blessed, and we're told that leads to life. Because the blessed man, the happy man, his way is known to God, is known by God, and he's counted among the righteous. The other, the only other possible destination is the way of the wicked. And that leads to death. Here are the two paths that are presented to humanity at the beginning of the Psalms. This introduces the rest of the Psalms, and here's the choice that's presented. Which path will we choose? This isn't Starbucks versus Dunkin' for your morning coffee. And it certainly isn't two equally good paths that diverge in a yellow road, and later on in life we'll look back wistfully thinking, what would have happened if I'd gone down that other route? These are two distinctly different eternal destinations. And the psalmist says, which will you choose? Which will we choose? And isn't it an obvious choice, right? We all know that we want life. We all know that we should pick the way of the blessed man here in Psalm 1. We should pick that route. We know that. But I'm afraid that Even though we know that intellectually, we oftentimes struggle with a couple of obstacles that pop up on the way. First is, what if? It's what I talked about earlier. We have this wistful what if feeling. And so even though we know that one path leads to death, we know it. It says it right there, the way of the wicked will perish. But you know what? We can't help but wonder what we're missing out on. The pleasantries and the pleasures of that path, the opportunities that come in that path. If we go back to last Sunday, the influence and the praise and the wealth and the honor that the world could give us if we took that path. Is it really worth missing out on all that? There's this what if of, oh man, I really don't know if I know I should take this path, but what if I didn't? What would I be missing out on? And the second obstacle I think we oftentimes run into is this is not a single choice. It's not like we're standing at a fork in the road and we have to choose left or right and it's over. It is a continual process of active choice to stay on the path of the blessed. After all, if I wanted to draw a parallel to our lives today, let's just say I'm going grocery shopping. I'm trying to decide, do I want to go to Kroger or do I want to go to Tom Thumb? I decide Kroger. It's not that as soon as I decide that, I'm there. And it's not even as simple as, okay, I want to go to Kroger. So I hop in my car, I back out of my driveway, and I'm in the Kroger parking lot. We understand that. We understand that we have to change lanes and we have to wait at stoplights and we have to make turns to navigate our way to our destination. And the same is true here. We want to make a single choice. We want it to be as simple as, okay, I choose the way of the blessed. I choose the path that ends in life. But it's not just one choice. It's a series of actively choosing the path of the righteous and the path of the blessed. And that means that sometimes we have to wait at lights and we have to use our blinkers and change lanes and it's a hassle and we wish that we could just take an easier route, but we have to navigate our lives. And this shouldn't surprise us either, because when Jesus came in his ministry, he taught the exact same thing. In Matthew chapter 7, he says, "Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." The path that the psalmist says leaves us dried up and withered. The path that starts with the counsel of the wicked and ends in death. Oh, that path is easy. That path is simple. And unfortunately, it's the path that most people are going to choose. But the path of the blessed, the path that ends up with us being known by the Lord, that path is difficult. It's got twists and turns, and it's hard to find, and it's hard to stay on, but it is worth every moment. And it is worth every choice we have to make, every sacrifice, every what if. It is worth it to stay on that path. So those are a couple of obstacles that I think we hit right off the bat. Because even though we know we should choose the path of the blessed, the path that leads to life, we run into these obstacles. And so what does this mean for us? We've got these obstacles. We know what destination we want, right? If I ask for a show of hands, which I'm not going to, but if I ask for a show of hands, who wants to navigate to the destination that results in, leads to life? Everyone would raise their hands. So what does that mean for us? If we want to reach that destination, we have to navigate to that destination. And that means making choices. We have to start making some choices, and we have to choose carefully. And Psalm 1 informs us on those things. So let's look at some of the choices that we have to make very carefully. The first one is, who are our advisors? Who do we listen to? Who do we go to for advice? Psalm 1 says that the blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And we need counsel. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, plans will fail. We can't just do this on our own. We need people to help us and to guide us and to give us advice. But it needs to be godly counsel. Proverbs 19, verse 21 says, many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. So when we choose who to trust and who to take advice from, we need to choose carefully, because if their destination, if their goal is not the way of the blessed, if their destination is not the path that leads to life, they are on a different path than us, and we do not need their advice. We do not need their counsel. So before we accept the counsel and the advice of someone else, we need to consider, what's their goal? Because if it's not the same as ours, their advice will not be useful to us, and it will not help us get to our destination of life. We need to choose our advisors carefully, but we also need to choose our friends, our companions carefully. There in verse 1, nor does he stand in the way of sinners. Our friends and our associates, those that we trust the most, that we take into our confidence, those that we have the most intimate associations with, who are they and what do they believe? It's for this reason that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Who's in the car with us navigating life? We need good travel buddies. We need people that are paying attention. But most of all, we need people in our lives, in our friendships, in our companionships that want to get to the same place we want to get. Same as with our advisors. If their destination is not the same as our destination, get out of the car. Because we don't want to go with them. We need to choose our companions, our friends, carefully. But also our attitudes. In verse 1, what I was trying to read just a minute ago, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. We see this progression, right? In verse 1, listening to the counsel of the wicked. First, it's about what we hear. Second, walks in the way or stands in the way of sinners. Now it's whom we are associating ourselves with. And then the third part of the progression, sits in the seat of the scoffers. Have we taken on the role of the scoffer? Have we taken on the attitudes and attributes and thoughts and actions of the wicked path? Are we sitting in their seat? The pride, the arrogance, the self-reliance. Have we taken on those attitudes? In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 24, it says, scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. And so what we have to consider, what we have to choose carefully for ourselves is, what thoughts and what attitudes are we going to allow to direct our actions? Because just like the others, if our thoughts are not focused on the destination that we have chosen, we will not end up where we want to be. We will not be navigating the path of the blessed. And so we need to choose carefully our attitudes, because they determine our actions, and they come from the heart. And then last, we need to choose carefully our direction. In verse 2, it says of the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Since we're using a travel metaphor, we need to know the map. We need to know and become intimately familiar with the map that leads us down the way of the blessed, down the path that leads to life. And this is our map. We need to know it. But not just that. It says here, I love this word in verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, if you've ever been driving with a GPS through an area that maybe doesn't have great cell service, and suddenly it just kind of starts, well, are you on the access road? Are you on the interstate? Or are you two blocks over driving next to the 7-Eleven? It doesn't know where you're at. It starts recalculating over and over and over, and it doesn't know what's going on. It's easy to get frustrated with that map. We have a perfect map. We have a flawless guide in the Word of God. What is our attitude regarding that? If a GPS is successfully keeping us on the road, keeping us from driving through guardrails and ditches and cornfields, and it is navigating towards our destination, do we ever get frustrated with it for keeping us on the road? Do we call it restrictive? Because, hey, it doesn't let me just pull off the interstate at 75 miles an hour and drive through the guardrail. Why doesn't it let me do that? That would be faster. Fastest point from point A to point B is a straight line, right? But the GPS doesn't do that, and we don't resent that. But when it comes to the Word of God, what's our attitude? Do we resent it for giving us guidelines for our lives, for directing us in the paths of righteousness, for saying, go here, don't go here? The blessed man delights in the law of the Lord, finds joy in knowing the law of the Lord, studying it, meditating on it, and following it. After all, when we get to the image there in Psalm 1 of the tree planted by the water, it bears fruit, which is what a tree is supposed to do. Knowing the law is not just enough. Taking delight and joy in the law is the next step, and then beyond that, doing it. Bearing the fruit that comes with not just knowledge of the law of God, but action on the law of God. And so when we navigate our path, we've chosen our destination, have we not? Again, if I asked everyone to raise their hands, do you want to navigate the path that leads to life or the path that leads to death? I think everyone would go, life! I want it! I want that path. That is the destination. If I have to choose between life and death, I choose life. Okay. Well, if we're going to navigate that path, it comes with choices. And we need to choose carefully. And each day, each minute, each moment, we get that choice. We get to choose whether we are going to remain on the path of the blessed person, the path that leads to life, or if we're going to veer off. We get to make that choice every day. Are we going to navigate towards life or towards death? We've got the map. It's in our hands. It's in my hand right now, and I know you guys have them. We've got the map. And we see the destination. We know where we want to go. And we see what it'll take to navigate either way. Whether we're going to navigate towards life or towards death, we see what it takes to get there. And each moment, the choice is ours. Are we going to seek godly counsel? Are we going to seek out advisors that want to help us get to life? Are we going to choose companions and friends who will encourage us on our journey? Will we choose to have and act on attitudes that are congruent with our destination, that line up with where we want to go? And are we going to choose to not only know, but to take joy in, delight in, and act on the Word of God? Are we going to choose our direction and stick with it? Those are the questions that we have to consider every day. Each moment, each choice that comes along, we're navigating that path to life. Those are the choices that we need to make. Are we going to follow the map of God's Word as it leads us to life? You know, for those of us that have already been baptized and are already in a relationship with Christ, I find this to be a little bit challenging for me. Because when I consider these choices, it reminds me that even though I'm in a relationship with Christ, I can still choose to smash through that guardrail and drive through the ditch and off through some cornfield. If I don't have the map, I am just as liable to do that as the person who's just straight up lost. It doesn't make a difference just because I am baptized and have a relationship with Christ. I still need the guide just as much as someone who is lost. And that challenges me. That reminds me of what I rely on and who is my guide ultimately. Who has the 20/20 vision? The only reliable guide. But then there are those, perhaps even here this morning, who have never been baptized and have never entered a special relationship with Christ, have never entered that. And so maybe you own a copy of the map. Maybe you actually have some knowledge of it as well. But that map, that guide that we have in the Word of God will only lead you to life if you use it in the context of a relationship with Him. That destination of life will only be available to those in a relationship with Him. So regardless of whether or not you've already been baptized into a relationship, but you've driven through that guardrail and you're driving through a cornfield, or if you've never been in a relationship with Him and you're kind of looking at this map and you're not sure where it's going or where it's taking you or why you're looking at it, we want to help you. We want to help you get in a better relationship with Christ this morning. And if we can help you do that, we ask that you come down here, right here, as we stand and as we sing.